St. Red, My Aim is True by Jordan D. White. Episode 6, Sneaky Feelings.
"You remember me?" Red said, blinking his eyes rapidly, trying not to let himself cry. Argento rushed into the room.
"The ambulance is... Oh, my goodness."
"It's okay, Frank," Red said. "I took care of it." He watched as Argento looked around the room, at the formerly late Allison Innes, black lipstick smiling up at Red, at the dumbstruck Mr. Innes, not quite prepared for his daughter's suicide, let alone her resurrection, at Father David Patrick, the pedophiliac priest who performed the miracle, now lying back, exhausted and completely naked on the floor. A loud knock came from the front door.
"That's the paramedics. We need to get this man some clothes, Mr. Innes."
His gaze finally snapped away from his daughter and up to Argento's face.
"What? Why, yes, yes, of course."
He rose awkwardly, escorting Argento and Patrick into his bedroom. From downstairs came the sounds of Mrs. Innes letting in the paramedics. "Just play along with me," Red told Allison, helping her to her feet. He took off his jacket and threw it onto the ground, covering up the gash in the floor his sword had made. When the emergency workers burst through the doorway, Red and Allison were sitting on the side of the bed. Allison was holding Chaser, petting him. "Hi there," Red said to the EMTs.
"Where is she?"
"This is she, but there's been some mistake. Her mother has a tendency to get a little, you know, hysterical. Allison was only sleeping, but dressed the way she is... You get the picture. It was all a misunderstanding." Red saw Argento and company come out of the bedroom, Patrick now wearing a blue sweater and some gray sweats.
"You're telling me that she was just sleeping and you thought that she had killed herself?"
"Hey, not me. I didn't think so, no. But, you know, no one listened to me. Anyway, everything's fine now. Everyone's okay."
Are you all right, miss?"
"I'm Peachy. I haven't seen this guy in ages."
She gave Red's arm a squeeze.
"We're terribly sorry to have bothered you. I'm sure you're very busy people, so we won't keep you."
Is this your house, sir?"
"It's mine."
Argento shoved Patrick into Allison's room and shut the door before escorting the paramedics out with Mr. Innes.
"Red, what is going on? I don't see you for a few years and all of a sudden... I don't even know what is going on enough to say all of a sudden what?"
Red sat Patrick down in the chair in front of Allison's desk. "Just stay there and keep quiet." "You really remember me?" he said, returning to Allison's side.
"Red, it hasn't been that long. Now who is that guy? What are you doing here? And why are we both dressed so strangely?"
"Both? You didn't put those clothes on?"
"Me? Of course not. And how did we get to my parents' house?"
"You mean instead of your apartment?"
"Yeah, last thing I remember, I was in my apartment, just about to go meet some people for lunch."
"Oh, this is great. This is wonderful."
"What?"
"You did it, you sick, disgusting bastard! You did it!"
"What did I do now?"
"Wait, Red, please tell me."
"Okay, but you're not going to believe a word of it. Not at first."
"You may find this hard to believe, but I'm hoping that the resurrection of your daughter, who was most assuredly dead, will go some way in convincing you that what I say is indeed true."
Allison, Red, Mr. and Mrs. Innes, and Father Patrick were all seated around the Innes family household living room. Argento stood before them, endeavoring to explain the situation.
"Now, Red has already explained all this to your daughter, but from a slightly different point of view. Let's see. Red is a saint. He has been appointed by a very powerful Christian organization that acts in the name of God."
"The Moral Majority?"
No. More powerful. More secret. "I also work for this, a religious agency. When Red was inducted into this agency, a miracle was performed. A miracle which erased him from the memory of every person not a part of our agency. Before this occurred, Red and your daughter had been close, friends. You, of course, knew him as well. And back then, she was a rather well-adjusted young woman with her own apartment in Brooklyn and friends and such. And somehow afterwards, she was suicidal, as you know, leading us to believe that Red had rather a large impact on her life. The odd part is that when she was brought back to life, she was healed by this gentleman here. And somehow he rather healed her mind as well. Ha! So, you see, there we are."
The Inneses merely stared at him.
The practical upshot of which is that although you and the rest of the world remember a daughter named Allison who is hideously depressed and repeatedly tried to kill herself, Allison herself remembers a pleasant life in which she had very few complaints. So, really, it's good news.
Mrs. Innes looked like she was going to cry. Again, Mr. Innes turned to his daughter.
Honey, you don't remember us taking you to the hospital? 3 years ago? They had to pump your stomach. I held your hand all night long. Stayed right by your bedside.
No, Daddy, I don't. 3 years ago, I was going to Columbia. I was dating Jonathan. Did I even know Jonathan here?
Mr. and Mrs. Innes exchanged a pitiful look just before Mrs. Innes did burst into tears once more. Allison's father looked over at his daughter, but immediately broke eye contact as he shook his head.
This is going to take some getting used to.
Hey, I've got it. Can't we just have Patrick heal their brains, too?
That's not really practical. Technically, we could heal Mr. and Mrs. Innes themselves, but then they, too, would have different memories than the rest of the world. Who knows what kind of difficulties that would cause? No, that's not really going to help. Although...
What?
We could always set Allison's mind back to...
No! How... Forget it.
From what I've heard about myself, I was not a very happy person. I don't want to go back to that if I don't have to. Especially since I wasn't the way I was intended to be in the first place. And while we're on the subject, what gives you the right to muck around with people's minds in the first place?
God.
And if you do this miracle every time someone joins you, then doesn't that mean that the world you set out to protect and the one you actually end up with are completely different ones?
We have people whose job it is to keep track of that sort of...
And do you follow up on all the bad things this causes? Would you have tried to save me at all if the apocalypse wasn't at stake?
Red, I told you that was classified!
Not to mention the big question, if you can just rewrite the past, why do you leave the big tragedies? Why leave war and famine? Why leave September 11th? Why don't you just erase all memory of Osama bin Laden?
Oh no, not again.
Why? What not again?
September 11th, the Twin Towers. You're always going on about...
What are you talking about, Ed?
Remember, this is not the same Allison you knew. I cannot apologize enough for the confusion you must be feeling.
What did I say about the towers?
You were always going on and on about how you knew it was going to happen beforehand, how it could have been stopped, what a terrible place the world was this would be let to happen.
Excuse me.
Mrs. Innes ran upstairs. Mr. Innes rose.
Thank you. For saving our daughter's life. You're welcome to stay the night.
Thank you, but...
That would be wonderful. Thank you, sir.
There's a guest bedroom at the top of the stairs on the left, and the couch down the basement folds out into a bed.
Mr. Innes then disappeared upstairs. Red got the distinct impression that they would not see the couple again for the night, even if it was barely 6 o'clock. Argento turned to look at Red. Red tipped his head toward Allison, who seemed pretty crushed by the whole ordeal. Argento looked over at Red again and sighed.
All right, we can stay, but just for one night.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Keep an eye on Patrick. I'll go to the van and fetch the duct tape.
Oh, come on! I've been good!
Back up in Allison's room, Red sat on the foot of the bed while Allison propped herself up against the pillows at the head. Chaser had plopped himself down directly between them, the better to be rubbed by both of them at once, which they, of course, obliged.
I don't know what I'm going to do, Goggles. I mean, half of this stuff isn't mine. Look at this.
She gestured to a poster on the wall.
Tool? Who listens to Tool? I don't think I can even name a Tool song.
There was that one with the twisted claymation video with, like, the pipes with all the meat in them. I forget what it was called.
Oh, that was them? Huh. But still, all the CDs I really like aren't here. I'm lucky I have Chaser here. Yes, you. I'm talking about you, you cutie. And what was with all the makeup? And I'm going to have to buy practically a whole new wardrobe. I was lucky to find anything this tame.
She had changed into a pair of old jeans from her high school days and a black t-shirt that read Got Blood on the front. You look great.
It just sucks losing so many of my things like that.
I lost all of my things.
What? They didn't let you take any of your things with you?
No, that's not it. I just... There was this letter and I didn't bring my stuff. I guess it was my fault. The only thing I brought was the Christmas card you sent me. Actually, I have it right here. He grabbed his jacket off the floor and pulled the card out of his pocket.
Hey, you got it already! I must say, I wish you'd come to visit under a bit happier circumstances. I've missed you so much. Why did you never come visit? I invited you like 50 times.
I don't know. He lay back against the wall. the city, you know me. I've always been more of a homebody. I like to stay in one place. I doubt I would have left any time soon if I hadn't, been, you know, sainted.
Yeah, so what's up with that? Why you? I mean, no offense, but you don't seem like you're really, I don't know, one of them? Those people who decide what is best for the world without its consent.
So far, it hasn't really been like that. This Patrick guy is a total pervert, and he deserves anything he gets. He's insane. He was saving little sick children and then molesting them and telling people it was the second coming.
Sounds like it happened more than twice.
Ugh, you're terrible. He also tried to get me to have sex with this little girl.
Did you?
Allison!
What? You never know.
You're awful. I would never.
I don't know.
I'm not a pedophile. I was completely...
I'm joking. Man, you are too easy. Always have been, Goggles.
Chaser hopped off the bed and made his way up to the top of Allison's dresser, where he began to thoroughly clean himself. Allison took the opportunity to stretch herself out, putting her legs over Red's lap.
You know, I always had such a huge crush on you.
Red wasn't drinking anything, but he felt the strong urge to go grab himself a glass of something so he could take a sip and then spit it out all over the place in shock. What?
You know, you were so smart and interesting. All the other guys I knew were busy worrying about stupid social nonsense, while you were always off in the corner memorizing Shakespeare.
Memorizing? I forgot all about that. I think I still remember it all.
Do you really?
Let not my love be called idolatry, nor my beloved as an idol show, since all alike my songs and praises be, to one of one still such and ever so.
Bravo!
I can't believe I still remember that. God, I never think about Shakespeare anymore. It's so strange that I still remember it all.
You remember all of it?
I don't know. Test me.
All right. Richard III, Act 2, Scene 1.
Act 2, Scene 1. Why looks your grace... No. No. Why so? Now, have I done a good day's work? Your peers continue this united league. I, every day, expect an embassage from my Redeemer to redeem me hence. And now, in peace, my soul shall part to heaven, since I have made my friends at peace on earth. Jesus Christ. Try Dickens.
You did Dickens, too?
In college.
Geez, I don't really know any Dickens. Try, Great Expectations, chapter, I don't know, 20? Are there 20 chapters in it?
There are 59, although the original version only had 58. Chapter 20, the journey from our town to the metropolis was a journey of about 5 hours. It was a little past midday when the four-horse stagecoach by which I was a passenger got into the ravel of traffic frayed out about the Cross Keys, Wood Street, Cheapside, London. Although, admittedly, that was an easy one, since I read that book about 50 times.
Jesus, like it much?
Yeah, I guess I did. This is really weird, though.
Why?
I don't know. I can't imagine just sitting around memorizing books. It seems so odd. I guess people change.
You haven't changed that much, Goggles. You're still a pushover for me.
She grabbed onto his side and began tickling. Hey, cut it out!
Shh, you wake everyone.
Stop tickling me then!
You're no fun!
She lay back onto her pillows and pulled him next to her.
Remember the first time we had a sleepover?
We colored Care Bear coloring books and did Mad Libs.
Remember we were... Oh, man, for some reason, whenever they asked for an exclamation, we'd put, "Thanks for your support!" And we thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Oh, my God, what the hell was wrong with us?
Who knows?
After their giggles subsided, they just lay there, looking up at the ceiling for a minute.
You know what I just realized?
What?
I spent 4 years getting through undergrad, and no one remembers it but me. I'm going to have to do it all over again. You can't become a teacher without a degree.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
Well, sort of.
Not really. It's those weirdos that drafted you. They left me as a Prescott with some sort of Cassandra complex, and now that I've been saved, I'm trapped in a world that's just a bit off from the one I grew up in. My own parents are too freaked to talk to me for longer than 5 minutes. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. He looked over at her. Her shoulder-length brown hair was spread out around her head, darker than it used to be. Likely a dye job by her darker half. Maybe you could come with me. I could tell them, I don't know, you're my assistant or partner or whatever. Fiancé or something.
And have them erase all record of me, too? Doesn't sound like too much fun. Not that it's really me they remember now. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know I'm glad you're here with me, Red, and I don't remember dying or anything, but thanks for saving my life. No matter what kind of psychedelic life I wake up to, I'd rather be alive than dead any day. So thanks.
She leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. Red smiled.
What?
Was the first thing Red heard the next morning. The voice sounded like Argento's. Red looked around himself. He was still in Allison's room. He had fallen asleep on the bed next to her. It was 7 in the morning. Allison was wearing the same clothes from last night, as was Red. Her hair was a mess all around her, and she was snoring very lightly. Chaser was asleep on her chest. Red smiled. He could still hear Argento's voice, but much less distinctly. He could still hear a very agitated edge in the voice, however. He climbed over the two sleeping bodies as carefully as possible and made his way out of the room. Argento's words soon faded into clarity as he entered the guest bedroom he had apparently shared with the taped-up Patrick, who was lying on the floor. Frank was on the phone.
We'll get right on it. You can count on us, sir. You won't regret it. Thank you. God bless.
Upon hanging up the phone, he threw his cell phone over his shoulder onto the bed and flopped down into a chair. What's wrong?
Red. Oh, I didn't see you there.
What happened? What did they say on the phone? Was that Hayden?
Yes, it's nothing. It's just nothing, really.
I thought our relationship was past this whole classified stage.
All right, Red, all right. I don't have the energy to do what needs to be done with fighting you, too. So, you win.
Cool, go me, I'm the champion. Now what's going on?
Remember when I mentioned the apocalypse earlier?
No. We got that covered.
No, we didn't. She succeeded in killing herself. The prophets still say the apocalypse will be here in less than 2 weeks.
New Year's?
Just as I told you. That's when those things seem to happen.
So what can we do?
They don't know. That's what we need to figure out. What Allison is involved with that could cause the apocalypse.
Father Patrick kicked at the dresser. She's not really going to be all that much help in that department, Red replied. She doesn't even remember her life. Father Patrick kicked at the dresser.
What do you want?
Argento ripped the duct tape off Patrick's mouth, eliciting quite a yelp.
I just want to get stinky. Ow! Shower! Is that all right with you, Your Holiness?
Whatever you think, Frank.
Fine, but it's got to be fast, and if you try anything funny, you are going to regret it. Is that clear?
Fine, whatever.
Patrick was dragged to his feet, and Argento tore the tape from Patrick's wrist and the sweater he'd been given to wear. But as he crouched down to pull up the tape around the ankles, Patrick toppled over onto the bed, his feet accidentally kicking Argento in the face.
God damn it!
Frank, it's going to be all right. We're going to figure it out, okay? Just relax.
All right. It'll be okay. I will. It's just a lot of pressure.
Let's go, Red said to Patrick. He escorted the priest to the bathroom, leaving Argento to calm himself down. Patrick went into the bathroom and turned on the shower. A moment later, Allison, whose room was next to the bathroom, opened her door, rubbing her eyes. Good morning, O Goth One.
Oh, not funny, Goggles. I had these horrible dreams.
Red, do you have my cell phone?
No, I... Red said, and then turned around and smashed his way into the bathroom. A beep sounded as Patrick pushed the end button on the phone.
You're too late. All my righteous angels are preparing to rain fire and vengeance down upon you all. The sword has been drawn and the lightning shall cometh.
That's strange, Red said. I thought I had the sword. He drew the weapon and smashed the hilt down onto the pastor's head, knocking him down into the shower.
This is terrible. We've got to get out of here. All of us. Who knows how much he's told them.
Argento picked up the phone from where the priest had dropped it on the rug. He opened it and dialed a number fast.
Robbie, this is an emergency. Get us 3 rooms at the hotel downtown ASAP. The usual one. And have a new cell phone waiting for me there. This one's been compromised. Thank you.
He dropped his phone into the toilet. He turned to Allison.
Grab whatever you need. I'll go get your mother. Your father will have to meet us there. Red, get the tape.
This time it really isn't my fault.
Just go!
End of episode 6.